Luke chapter 6 this morning, begin our reading today in verse 47. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. Luke chapter 6, begin our reading in verse 47. For the Bible says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell." Notice that. Immediately. Circle that word immediately. Immediately it fell. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Circle the word great. The ruin of that house was great. The Bible says immediately. I want to look here in the Scripture here today. And I want to preach a simple message that God's put upon my heart for this morning service. For we that are here, and those that may be listening later on by means of CD, I want to speak to you on this thought, how to storm-proof my home. How to storm-proof your home, our homes, today. Now, what can we do? What measures can we take as Bible-believing Christians? How can we storm-proof our home? I want you to hold your place here in Luke, and we're going to come right back here to Luke and go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew and Luke's Gospels are the only two places that this story is found. Matthew chapter 7, we find this story here beginning in verse 24. You'll see some similarities here as we read this account of Matthew. Matthew 7, 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Here we see a story here that is no doubt the same story. Different, a little bit different details in Matthew's account than Luke's account. When you look at the four gospel record, you must understand it's like looking at this pulpit here. This pulpit here has four sides to it. Just like the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four gospel, four writers. And there are times that they have different things in the gospel about the same story. Now, Brother Rick said, and to my right, he can see this side here, but he cannot see this side. I can see this side, the back of it, but I cannot see the sides here nor the front. You can see the front that are sitting here in the middle. You there can see the side and the front. Probably you can see the side and the front. I'm the only one to see the back. But yet it's one pulpit. And that's the way the gospel records are. There are times that the same story is given, but there's different views, there's different sides, there's different angles that's given. So therefore, there's a little bit more detail we find in Matthew's gospel about the same event than we do find in the gospel of Luke. But here we find some things that are interesting. Now, we understand today that when a storm is coming, we're always encouraged by the weathermen to prepare ourselves and to protect our properties. And if a hurricane's coming and you're fortunate, I guess you can be fortunate enough to have a beachfront property, then you're probably going to make a trip down there and put boards on your windows and maybe put some sandbags there and do all you can. Maybe turn the power off or turn the water off, the gas off, and you're going to do all you can to protect your property. The way it is up here, we're going to do all we can to make sure that everything's intact after the storm leaves our neighborhood. But here, let me just say, may I say this morning, that there is a storm coming? That there is a storm on the horizon coming against your home and my home? Some of you today are already in a storm. And you're clinging to anything probably today that'll hold you above the water. There are those this week, your family, your home's going to go into a storm. And there may be a families today that are just coming out of one. And you're licking your wounds, you're bandaging up your wounds, and you're adding up your assets and your liabilities and your losses and your gains, and you're looking at what the storm had left behind. May I say this morning, God lays it out in the Word of God that there is something that you and I can do to storm-proof our homes today. Our homes. Now, when we look at this story here, we understand there's two men. Two men. Matthew gives these men a title, if you will. Matthew calls one of them a wise man. Whereas Luke calls, or Matthew calls the other one, a foolish man. But yet, in the two accounts here, there are two houses. And there are two houses that are built. There are two different foundations. One's a rock and one's sand. But understand this, there's only one storm. There are not different storms for the foolish and the wise. There's one storm, just like the Bible says, that rains on the just and the unjust. There's good and evil to the just and the unjust. And here we understand there's a story, there's an account in the gospel record that God gives us here about an individual who hears what God has to say and acts upon it and applies the truth to their life and to their home life. And God says, when that storm comes down your road and it hits your house, after it passes and it's gone, your house, your home will still be standing intact. Your integrity, your character, your commitment to God, your commitment to one another will still be there intact. But then there are some who have built their house on sinking sands of humanism and secularism and worldliness and ungodliness, and yet the same storm will sweep down the same street. And the Bible says, and great will be the fall thereof, because that individual was labeled as a foolish man, did not heed the truth that God had given. And so therefore, there was a great fall. Now understand this here today. In Luke, the Lord is speaking of blindness, beams, and bad fruit. The verses prior to the story I've read you, that's what Jesus is dealing with. He's dealing with blindness. He says, the blind, let the blind follow the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Then he goes on and deals with the beam that's in our eyes. And then he goes on and talks about bad fruit. A good tree can't give evil fruit, an evil tree can't give good fruit. And then he comes down and says, oh, by the way, let me tell you the story. Listen, if you do what I tell you to do, if you heed my commands and you live by the Word of God, then you're going to be like a wise man that built his house on a rock. But if you don't, you're going to be like the foolish man when the storm comes. The Bible says immediately it fell, and great was the fall thereof. That's what Jesus is dealing with here in Luke. Back over there in Matthew's gospel there, Matthew chapter 7, we see that Matthew is dealing with false power. Because there's a group standing there before God and says, hey, we've done all these many miracles in your name. And it's a false power. And then he deals with false performers. He said, have we not cast out devils in thy name? And then he deals here with false pretenders. And he says that in thy name we've done all many wonderful works. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What about that? What are you talking about, Jesus? Depart. I mean, they've done all these great works. He said, listen, I will liken you unto a man. If you do what I tell you to do and you follow my command and live by the Word of God, he said, you'll be like a wise man to build his house on a rock. You understand what's going on here? I mean, listen, we're not just pulling a story out of the Bible and preaching around a story, but I'm showing you the context of the Scripture here and what Jesus is dealing with. He's dealing with false promises here, false performers and false power and false pretenders. And Jesus said, I never knew you. And then he says, let me just tell you about the story. Some of you in Jesus' day, he was telling them, he said, look, some of you, you're doing right because you're doing what I've asked you to do. You're obeying my command. Therefore, you're building your house on a rock. But some of you, oh, foolish man, you're building your house on sand. It may feel firm right now, but you wait till the water hits that sand. What does sand do when water hits it? It just melts. It dissolves and washes away. Is that right? Jesus said, that's the way your life's going to be. That's the way your life's going to be. And we don't need to look at this as some construction site, you know, houses blown down. But Jesus is basically dealing with their life, is what he's saying. He said, when you come down to the end of your road, this is how it's going to turn out for you. You're either going to be a wise man, and you're going to stand the storms of life and the test of time, and your faith will be tried, yet so as by fire, or you're going to be like a foolish. Your life's going to be nothing but a heap pile of ruin, and great is the fall thereof. God said immediately it fell. Here Luke here is dealing with blindness and beams and bad fruit. He said, listen, that's the people that don't listen and do what God says do. And he goes on and tells them that story. Listen, their claim was baseless. Their claims were baseless. In other words, they had no foundation to their ideologies. They had no foundation to their philosophies of life or the vain religion. Go back to Luke 7 right quick. Luke 6. Let's get in the message here today. I'll do my best to get it all in. Lord, help me. I want you to notice two words here in Luke 48. Two words, and I want you to underline them. Digged deep. Dig deep. Dig deep. You want to know how to stormproof your home? You got to dig deep. You got to dig deep. Here the Lord puts those two words in there. He says here, look at it. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Not the rock, but a rock, which represents, no doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says here that you can stormproof your house by digging deep. By digging deep. By building your life, your home, your family, the church, build it on a rock, the foundation. Times that in order to do that, we've got to dig deep. You want to stormproof your home? I want to do this right quick. Listen to this. If my home is going to have any chance of surviving the storm, there are several things that you and I must do. I took the two words, dug deep. I'm going to use them this morning as an acronym. Each letter representing a word. And these are things I really believe God impressed upon my heart to give you today on how we can stormproof our homes. Look at the first letter D in the word dug or digged. Digged. Digged deep. Look at the first D. If your home is going to have any chance of surviving, then we must, you ready? There must be some determination. Write that down. Determination. We must decide and determine today that we're going to do all that we can to have a home that's pleasing to God. Just because daddy's saved and mama's saved and does not mean that there's a Christian home going on there. Listen, you may live in a house, but it takes God to make it a home. And I'm telling you this morning, listen, there's a lot of people living in homes that think that they've dug deep enough. But listen, you and I have got to have some deep down determination. Nothing we know can be accomplished today without God's help and without God's grace and God's power. But what I'm saying this morning, you and I must determine, number one, to stay the course. Stay the course. Stay with God. Walk in the ways of God. Make your mind up that you're going to live for God. We must, number two, see it through. Whatever you started, make sure you're there at the finish. Don't go AWOL on your family. Don't walk out on your wife. Don't walk away from your husband. Don't walk away from your children. Don't leave your responsibility. Listen, be determined in your heart by the help and the grace and power of God. I am determined to stay the course, and I'm going to see it through. I'm going to see it through. Number three, you've got to determine to survive the quitting spots. We've got to determine that. There are going to be times in your marriage, in my marriage, listen, that we think about just quitting. We think about just walking away from it. I mean, the burdens get heavy, the responsibility gets tough, the accountability, everything that goes in, the battle from the world, the battle from the devil, the battle from the flesh. And listen, there are times that weight can get so heavy. But I want you to know we've got to learn to survive the quitting spots. You must determine, number four, to seek the face of God together. May I say this morning, that it's hard to leave someone after you just got off your knees thanking God for them. It's hard to leave a church after you just got off your knees thanking God for your church. It's hard to walk away from somebody when you just got off your knees thanking God for them. I tell you, we ought to seek the face of God together. You want to know what's in someone's heart? You listen to them talk to God. And you'll hear what's in their heart. The Bible said there in 2 Samuel 23, it talks about a man by the name of Shammah. And the Bible says these Philistines would come down and they would run the people of God out of their field of lentils. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And then in verse 12 it says, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Shammah got tired of running. I mean, every time they'd get down there in their vineyard, in their field of lentils, the Philistines would come down and flush them out of the field. Well, there's a day that old Shammah got tired of running, and the Bible says he stood his ground and he defended his pea patch. He did not run away. He did not back away. He did not back off. Listen, he was determined, this is my home, and I'm not going to let the world, the devil, get it. Listen, you and I have got to have some determination. That's how we stormproof our homes. You see, the storm's coming. I've already told you that. And I don't have to have a satellite in space to tell you that. The storm's coming. And we've got to have a determination. Number two, look at the letter. Go back to the book of Luke right quick. Look at the letter I. I'm going to move on through these here. Look at the letter I. Digged. If my storm or if my home has any chance of surviving the storm that's coming against it, number one, there must be some determination in my heart. Number two, there must be some godly influences in my life. Influences. Let me ask you this morning, who are you allowing to influence your family today? Who are you allowing to influence your children, your grandchildren? Who's got your child's heart? Who has your wife's heart, sir? Ma'am, who has your husband's heart? Do you? Do you know for sure you've got their heart? In Proverbs 21, the virtuous woman, the Bible says that his heart, talking about her husband, his heart doth safely trust in her. Why? Because he had her heart. And when you get someone's heart, you'll eventually get the rest of them. That's why there's such a battle between God and the devil for the hearts of God's people. And understand this, who are you allowing, who am I allowing to influence our families today? Who are the heroes of your home? Listen, I could come to your house today. I could walk in your child's bedroom, maybe even your bedroom. I could look at a child's room, a teenager's room, with all the posters and things on the wall. I can tell whose hero they have. I can tell which way they're leaning. I probably can walk in your home today and I can probably tell which way you're leaning. I can walk in my home today and tell which way I'm leaning. There were times in my life, our early married life, Lisa and I, there are times I sat in my living room thinking, I wonder when somebody comes in our house, I wonder, is there anything in here that will let them know that I'm a Christian? Or is there anything in here that will let them know, give the indication that we're not Christian? And I'd evaluate the house. I'd look at my living room, I'd look at pictures hanging on the wall, things of that nature. Listen, we've got to understand, there's influence. Go with me right quick. Hold your place in Luke. And let's go back to Proverbs. There are several verses that I want to show you here in Proverbs. So we'll stay here just for a few moments, then go to the next point here. And I'm going to do my best to get through this here today. If not this morning, we'll look at it tonight. But it says here in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. The oppressor is the one that's sinful, the one that's evil-minded, the one that's contrary, a man of violence. He said, envy thou not the oppressor. Who's your heroes? The Bible says over there in chapter 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The word walketh there means spending a lot of time with. He that spendeth a lot of time with wise men shall be wise. Listen, you want your children to turn out to be wise? I do. Well, God says you make sure that wise people influence their life. Not just wise as far as book learning, but have some horse sense about them. Have some spirituality about them. The Bible says there in Psalm 15 and verse 4 that we should honor them that fear the Lord. You know who your children's heroes should be? You know who our grandchildren's heroes should be? You know who our heroes should be? It should be people that honor the Lord. People that live for God. People that have a great godly testimony. Listen, that should be people that we're letting influence our life. You see, I told Charity when she went to college, I said, listen, Charity, it's not all about education, but it's about who you're going to allow to influence you when you're there. Because really, that's who's going to set the tone in your life, the direction in your life. You can get book learning, but who are we going to... Listen, if we're going to survive the storms of life, then we've got to allow and have some godly influence in our life, in our homes. Back in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, the Bible talks about Proverbs 27:17. It talks about the iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. You take two pieces of iron together and you rub them together, and after a while you'll get an edge, not just on one, but you'll get an edge on both of them. It's like last night sitting there listening to Brother Paulie over a plate of food. We were fellowshipping and talking and asking questions back and forth. You know what we were doing? We were sharpening each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. I said, James, come on over, sit beside us. Get in on a little sharpening here. Listen, you ought to sit with people. You ought to talk with people. Love the Bible. Love God. Love church. Listen, friend, don't hang around that crowd that don't have anything to do with God. Don't run with that crowd that don't read their Bible, that don't pray. Listen, don't like the preaching of God's Word. Listen, friend, get around that crowd that will influence you in a right way. Talk about stormproofing your home, friend. Because, listen, there's going to be people, influences that are going to be after your child's heart. And it's going to be a battle. You're going to have to do some tough love. And there's going to be a battle. And you're going to have to fight for it. And you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to fight the devil for it. Fight the world for it. Fight the flesh for it. But here, Jesus said back in Luke chapter 6, He said, I want you to know, this man, he was determined because he dig deep. And he only allowed godly influences in his home. Whether it's through television, magazine, newspaper, radio, video, whatever it was, things that help build up you in the faith and not tear it down. Not tear it down. Influences. Look at the next one, letter G, quickly. What will stormproof my home, Pastor? Determination, godly influence. Letter G, the gospel. The gospel. My mother said, and I've got it in front of my Bible, my mother said I was the first to tell my children about Jesus. You know what needs to be in your home and my home is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel should be lived out in our home. Do you understand that? Listen, friend, when's the last time that you had the opportunity to sit down and talk to your son or daughter or your grandchild about the gospel? About the gospel, about their soul. And just talked about what Jesus has done for you and them. And have the gospel. Listen, don't leave the responsibility to the pastor or to the Sunday school teacher, to the youth worker. You tell them what Jesus done for them. You put the gospel in your home. Listen, have a Bible beside your favorite chair. Have a Bible on your nightstand. There have been many times I've been awakened out of sleep in the middle of the night. I hear two voices. I wake up and I look and it's still dark, but there Titus is on his knees beside our bed talking to his mom about the things of the Lord. About some things he might be struggling with. And they're having a conversation. Or I might hear them praying together. They didn't want to wake me. They woke me, you know. If you think of that, the gospel will stormproof your home. Listen, the storm's coming, friend. The wind's already been blowing. Clouds are gathering. It's just on the horizon. The storm's coming against your home. And listen, if it's going to stand the storm, we've got to have some determination to stay the course, survive the quitting spots, see it through, seek the face of God together. We've got to have some godly influences in our home. We've got to have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our home, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Son of God. Then look at the next G right quick. We must have grace in our home. Grace. Grace. Grace to forgive. Grace not only to forgive, but grace to forget. And grace You probably will identify with this third one, grace to forbear. You know what the word help means? It means right fit. It means suitable. Listen, God only knew that there was only one woman in this world put up with you, sir. And you got her. Amen. I got her. I'll tell you, listen, thank God for my wife. The grace to forgive. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what we need in our homes to stormproof our homes? We need abounding grace. Where sin abound, grace does much more abound. Listen, when you come home and there's a mistake made, there's a sin that's been committed, listen, are we going to sweep it under a rug? Are we going to just let it try to pass away, open the window, hope the sin flies out? And what are we going to do? We're going to be willing to forgive and forget, forbear. Where sin abound, grace does much more abound. Grace is needed in our home. The Bible says that our speech may be seasoned with salt of the grace of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, love covereth a multitude of sin. Grace. You know what? We need to embrace with grace. When's the last time you hugged your child? When's the last time you embraced your grandchild? When's the last time, husband and wife, you embraced one another? When's the last time you held hands? When's the last time you looked at each other and said, I love you? You're special to me. I'm glad God put us together. When's the last time we've embraced with kindness? When's the last time that little boy or girl, there are times, Titus, he'd come up to me and he'll always come to the right side. It seemed like he'll bend over and give me a big old kiss on the cheek and he'll hug my neck and say, Daddy, I love you. You're the best dad in all the world. He did that yesterday. We encourage embracing in our home. I want them to know that they can come to me anytime and get a hug from Daddy. I want my wife to know she can come to me anytime and have an affection and a touch and compassion and grace. We need to embrace with grace. Grace will help stormproof our home. We need a touch with tenderness. We need a touch with tenderness. Sometimes if we're not careful, we think the only touching we do is when we whip our children or correct our grandchildren. Let me just say this about discipline there. Make sure everybody's on the same page. But understand this. We need a kiss with kindness. Oh, listen, we need the grace of God that stormproofs our home. Listen, the storm's coming, friend. And listen, if our home is going to stand after the storm passes by, we're going to have to dig deep. This man, he dig deep. The Bible says he dig deep. I believe he was determined. He was determined to shovel that dirt out of the way. He was determined. Can you imagine? Listen, can you imagine digging that footing for the house? Determined to dig and find the bedrock underneath all that soil? Determined! He said, I've got to stormproof my house. Storm's coming. I've got to make sure that my children, my wife, got to make sure that we have godly influence in our lives to do right, to live for God, draw closer to the Lord. You know what? You can be around some people. Listen, they'll get you fired up just by you being around them. They'll provoke you unto good works. Isn't that right? Then there's some people you'll be around, man, they'll discourage you to death. You're about ready to resign and dig a hole and jump in and cover yourself up. Just go on. I'm telling you, listen, there's godly in, then the gospel, then the grace of God, then notice the letter E, and digged. I think, listen, if we're going to stormproof our home, we've got to have some edification in the house. Edification. What does that word edification mean? It means to build up. It means to build up. There's some edification. Hold your place here in Luke. Turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, Paul the apostle in the inspiration of God uses this word edification. Here he says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. He said, I want you to know, listen, there's a difference between edification and destruction. Edification builds, destruction destroys, tears down. Look with me, please. Go over there to chapter 13. he uses the word edification again. Chapter 13, verse 10, it said, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification. Look at this. And not to what? Destruction. There's those two words again. Paul draws a clear line of distinction, a clear line of differences between destruction and edification. There's a lot of destruction going on in our home with the snide remarks we make to one another, to the short answers that we give, to the cold shoulder that we give, to the turning away of affection. Listen, friend, the Bible says, but charity edifies. The Bible says, edify one another. And what we've got to do, we've got to quit tearing each other down. That's going to destroy your home. The storm's coming. How can I stormproof my home? You need a dose of edification in that thing. Go with me quickly to Ephesians 4, verse 29. Look at Ephesians 4, 29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearer. Sometimes your son or daughter just needs to know that they've done a good job on the dishes. Your wife needs to know that she's done a good job with the laundry. Your husband needs to hear you've done a good job with the yard. You've done a good job with the car, getting it clean, keeping it filled up with gas. Honey, you're doing a great job keeping the clothes and the furniture dusted and the floors vacuumed and the tiles swept. And honey, I just want you to know, listen, edification. Building each other up. When's the last time you spoke a word of kindness to your spouse? You can remember the times you bit her head off or you bit his head off. You were short with him, but when's the last time you spoke some kindness to him? Just went out of your way just to be kind, to edify, to build up. Listen, you know what? Listen, what goes on in your home, you got to understand this, and I need to understand this too. What goes on in your home spills over into the house of God. If you would do it at home, be more likely you'll do it here as well. Because as the home goes, so goes the church. As our church goes, so goes our nation. But we've got a nation now, and you know, through the political process and all the bickering and fussing and fighting, all the stagnant there in Washington, they say, we've got a dividing country, and we do. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot what? Stand. Nation rising up against nation. North Korea, South Korea divided. North Vietnam, South Vietnam divided. Nation rising against nation. Listen, there must be some edification in their homes. Tell your wife she looks prettier the next time she gets ready for church. Tell her she looks prettier tomorrow morning. She's in there fixing your breakfast. She won't have to walk out the door hungry. When you put that clean shirt on, sir, pull those clean socks on, smell that fabric softener. Well, I thank you for that. I mean, listen, tell your husband, thank you for working so hard and putting a roof over her head and clothes on her back and groceries on her table. I just want you to know you're doing a great job. And I love you for that. In spite of your rotten ways. I love you in spite of it. That's where that grace kicks in. That's why you need grace in your home. I'm talking about stormproofing our homes. Stormproofing our homes. Look at the last letter there. Go back with me quickly. We'll stop right here and pick up and do the rest of it tonight. The letter D there. What do we need in our homes if we're going to stormproof our home? I believe God would have us to look at discipline. Discipline in our home. So, all right, I like discipline. Now, I like swinging that leather. You know there's more to discipline than just swinging the leather or breaking off a hickory stick? Discipline is not just about correction, but it's also about direction, and it's also about protection. Discipline. And God has a lot to say in His Word about discipline. Go with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And that's why it's so important that mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and even great-grandma and great-grandpa and aunt and uncle are all on the same page when it comes to discipline, little Billy Bob. You know? Because once little Billy Bob learns where the easier route is, that's the where he wants to go. And he's going to pit one another against each other. And they're going to try to drive a wedge between husband and wife. to get their way. And while he's over there diving head first in a bowl of chocolate icing that Mama said it couldn't have, but Daddy said it's all right. Dad and Mama, they're in the background. You know? That's exactly right. Look in Hebrews 12, verse 10. For the Bible says there in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And nevertheless, here it is. Afterward, after it's all said and done, tears are dried, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's the goal of discipline. Is to keep that heart tender for the gospel. Go back with me quickly to go back through Luke and go back to Proverbs. Let me give you a few verses here in Proverbs, and we'll try to bring this to a close and unhook and hook back up tonight and finish this tonight, God willing. Look at Proverbs 13. You talk about discipline. We need discipline in our home. They said this week, I heard on the news report, that there is so much disrespect for authority in the young generation coming up. They even had a news report, a news story about that. And they had an account of a judge, I believe it was in Florida, was talking to a young lady who had gotten in trouble, and she said some dirty words to him and cursed him out there in the courtroom and gave him thumbs up with the wrong finger and everything else, you know. And he called her back in there and said, I'm going to give you 30 days in jail. And all of her little friends and things started crying about it on the social media, you know. Brought her back in there. He raised her bond from $5,000 to $10,000. And she came back in there with her lawyer the next day or the next few days or so, brought her in there, and she apologized publicly to the judge. And so the judge knocked her bail back down to $5,000 and took away the 30-day jail sentence. But in his statement to that girl, he was saying, listen, there is just so much disrespect among the young people in this country to any authority. To any authority. And listen, it all goes back because discipline has been taken out. He said, I know they took it out of school. Listen, when they took it out of school, a lot of parents took it out of their home too. He said, all whatever goes on in your home spills over. Spills over in the school, spills over in the church. And listen, look in Proverbs 13 right quick. Notice a few things here. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what the word betimes means? It means multiple times as needed. If he or she needs a good correcting, go at it. Go at it. Look in chapter 19. Look in chapter 19, verse 18. The Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope, lest, and let not thy soul spare for its crying. While there is hope, he said, discipline them, deal with them. That's what we need to stormproof our homes. Look in chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Look in there in chapter 23 and verse 14. Chapter 23, 14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from where? Where? Where are you going to deliver his soul from? Hell. The word beat there, a lot of people have a problem with that. Sigmund Freud and the rest of that progressive crowd. They have a problem with that. Dr. Bottlestopper and Dr. Doolittle, all those people there, they have a problem with that word beat. That just simply means to strike. With a rod. A rod is about as maybe smaller than my pinky, the diameter of my pinky finger. A rod, like a dowel rod, you know. A rod. That's what it's talking about. That's what it mentions here. He says here, when you deal with a child and you put the Board of Education at the seat of the problem, the design place that God has inbuilt upon your child, listen, permanently there, from design, God says you'll deliver his soul from hell. Dealing with it. Look in chapter 29 right quick. Chapter 29, verse 15. The rod of reproof. Look at this. You need to know this here. The rod of reproof give what? Wisdom. But a child left to himself, herself, themselves, bringeth his mother to shame. Think of that. Just let them do whatever they want to, act any way they want to act. I like what Brother Mays Jackson said one time. I heard him preach. He went in the restaurant, sat there at the restaurant, and noticed a lady over here took a little boy to the restroom, just a little tot, about 2 years old or so. Terrible twos, they call it. And she said, "Now, honey, go over there and shut that door." He said, "I'm not shutting that door." She said, "Now, come on, please, please shut that door." He said, "I tell you, I'm not shutting that door." He just got smart with her. I mean, 2 or 3 year old boy, you know. Old enough to talk plain good. And he said, I'm not slinging around like that. She said, "Oh, please," just begging him, whining. I can't stand a whiny parent trying to get their kid to do something. Get over there and give him something. And anyway. And he told that lady, he said, "Ma'am," he said, "if you'll give me 5 minutes with your little boy, I promise you he'll be shutting every door in the county when I get through with him." I'm telling you, listen, we got to get back to old-fashioned Bible biblical discipline. I'm not talking about child abuse. But listen, if you do it the Bible way, you do it the right way. You do it the right way. And here God says there, look at verse 16, "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul." The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know what the wise man did back in that story? He digged deep. He digged. In other words, he had to roll his sleeve up. He had a purpose in his heart. "I've got to get this done. I'm not going to be like that neighbor down the road just threw a house up on top of that sand. But I want to do what God's told me to do. I want to be obedient to the Word of God. I don't want to be like James 1:22. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. I want to take what I've heard and apply it to my life, apply it to my home. I want to be a wise man. I know the storm's coming. I can feel the breeze coming. I can even smell the rain. I can see the black clouds on the horizon. It's coming down our street, shores of the world. And I've got to dig deep." Listen, you know what we need in our homes? We need some determination. We're going to stay the course. See it through. Seek the Lord together. Survive the quitting spots. We need some godly influence in our home. Make sure your children, grandchildren, make sure you have the right heroes in life. Hold up the men of God. Hold up the godly men. Hold up the godly women that God's used in your life to be a blessing to you. And talk much about them. Read the autobiographies of great men of God and great women of God of the faith. We need the gospel in our homes. We need grace in our homes. We need to embrace with grace. We need a touch with tenderness. We need a kiss of kindness. Listen, we need to edification in our home. Instead of tearing each other down, let's try to build each other up. And listen, we just simply need some discipline in our home. The wise man digged. Yet it just didn't dig. But God willing, tonight we'll pick up and we'll find out that it digged deep. And we'll look at these four letters tonight, the word deep, God willing. Lord, let me. Lord, that's what the Lord wants. We'll finish this, God willing, tonight. But he dig deep. Let me ask you this. How's your digging going? How's your digging going? With these five things I've given you, how's it going? Six things that I've given you, how's it going? Do you have that God-given Holy Ghost boldness of sheer determination to see it through? What about the influence in your life? What about the gospel, the grace, the edification? Has God, by His Spirit, put His finger on something there in your life? He said, you need to strengthen this here in your life. Listen, after last night's message over there, Brother Paulie spoke. I thought, my goodness alive, there's no hope for me of being a husband. I've been trying for almost 29 years now. I thought I was doing fairly well until he got over there preaching. I'll tell you what, listen, may God help us to see that we need to get disciplined in our home. And again, it's not just discipline our children, our grandchildren, but listen, we need some self-discipline as adults. We can indulge ourselves in worldly amusements and stay out of the Bible, stay off our knees, and get so carnal, backslid on God. And we can begin to call light darkness and darkness light, bittersweet, sweet bitter. We need some discipline in our life as well on the activities that we're involved in. What's lacking in your life to stormproof your home? Is your home stormproof? We've seen part of it. God willing, we'll see part B tonight. second part of this, where this man just didn't dig. But the Bible says he digged deep. Let's pray together, shall we?